Hello, welcome back to Christian Leaders Institute, John Kenny, and we're continuing to dive into this incredibly challenging and rewarding and wonderful area of ministry called revitalization, where we see God bringing things that are dead back to life. It's so exciting that we're doing this together. As I've often said to you, I'm cheering for you, I'm praying for you, that you're going to see just wonderful success. You're going to see the hand of God moving in your ministry as you take on this great challenge of revitalization. Now, one thing I did want to mention about this, now we're up to lecture 28, as you can see. And in each lecture, we're covering 30-plus minutes of content. So when you do that for 36 lectures, we're pushing 20 hours of content. And in all that, I'm giving, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 things to do or to think about. And the reality is, if I give you a list of 150 things to do, there's no way you're gonna have a chance to do that. So what my hope is, as we're going through these, is that these series of 3 lectures that we do a piece for each session. It's really going to kind of give a different way to think about revitalization or some different vocabulary or just a different way of coming at it and understanding it. And that as you're going through this, you're going to hit on some lectures that you say, this makes a lot of sense. This is really a good way for me to go about it. And so that's my hope. I certainly don't think that you're going to be able to do everything I talk about in 36 lectures. So today we're going to be talking about building a model for ministry, and in some ways we've talked about this, we've talked about it in different ways, we've come at it from different angles, and so this is just another way for us to think about it. So hopefully these couple lectures are going to be helpful for you, either to solidify what you already have, you know, going on and how you understand it, or that it will kind of be a new way that you're like, oh, you know, I hadn't thought of it this way, and it makes a lot of sense. So that's really what we're at here. I'm just trying to give you a whole kind of arsenal of ways of thinking about things and vocabulary and approaches to really the same issue of why does your ministry, why is it stuck? What does it need to do? How and what are the steps you need to take to get there? Okay, so today the next 2 lectures, we're talking about a model for ministry, and in this lecture, we're going to be talking about mission, which is really understanding what is the church, why does the church exist, and what is its purpose? Church, like capital C, like all of God's people, the kingdom of God. Like, what are we called out for? What is God calling us to do? And then we find whether it's our local church or the ministry we lead as an expression of the bigger church. How does that all fit in, and what are we supposed to do? What's our purpose in all this? So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your church and the mission that you have laid out for us. Lord, I do pray that we might have wisdom today, Lord, because we know that truly if we don't know why we exist and what our purpose is, Lord, we'll never be strong and healthy and vital and world-changing. And Lord, that's our heart. So we pray that you would give us wisdom and insight as we continue in this process. Amen. Okay, so let me start off with a definition that I think is going to be helpful for us. Okay, so let's break down what the church is and what it's called to do. So I have a definition here, and it says the church is the body of Christ and is called to continue the ministry of Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. Now, there's a few things in here that I think we kind of want to break apart. One is this first line where it says that we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet. We are of Jesus. We are the physical manifestation, the expression of Jesus in this world. And certainly, you know, Paul speaks quite a bit about this. Jesus, you know, references us this idea that we embody him in this world, that Jesus is physically present in this world, and he's present through us. So that's what the church is. And the church then has a calling as Jesus' representatives, as his embodiment here on earth and in the world. We're called to do something. And what we're called to do is to continue the ministry that he started when he, in his incarnation, when he was, you know, walking through Israel 2,000 years ago. That what he did there is we're supposed to continue in that role. Now, we don't just do that on our own strength, because that's impossible, because Jesus did that which is impossible. And his ministry was certainly empowered by the presence of the Spirit and at work in his life. And so in the same way, this calling that we have as God's people to continue the ministry, we have the same power at work in us that Jesus did, that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the things that only the Lord can do. And then the bottom line, maybe is the most important of all, is that what we do through the help of the Holy Spirit and continuing the ministry that Jesus began, we do it for the honor and the glory of God. It's all for the Lord. It's all about him. So it's never about building an institution or creating a name for ourselves, or, you know, having our name on a letterhead or out in front of a church or anything like that. It's always about the honor and magnifying, exalting the name of the Lord in our world. So I think this is a really kind of just a quick but full definition of what is the church. And we can see here, we've really uncovered what is the mission of the church. Why does the church exist? It's to continue the ministry of Christ for the glory of God. That's really what our mission is. So we're going to break that down. We're going to go into that just a little bit deeper. But that's really the bulk of what we're saying, is that the church, the ministry you're over, the purpose of it ultimately is to continue what Jesus did and to do it for the glory of God. Now, apart from this kind of an understanding, and the fancy word we might use is ecclesiology, which is kind of the theology of the church, the purpose of the church. Apart from this kind of ecclesiology, the church has no identity and no purpose. This is who we are, it's what we are, it's what we're called to do, and it's how we do it. So just having a really clear sense of this is very important. Now, as a ministry leader, this is probably old news to you. You know, this is like, yes, no kidding. But I think one of the issues we face is that not everybody in our pews or in the really understands this, that they have a very different idea of what church is. They're thinking church is something here for me, and I want the pastor to do this, and I want all my needs met. And when we look at something like this, we realize it's a very different understanding. So you might say the word church and mission, and somebody else might say those words, and you can mean two very, very different things. But I think if we push into Scripture, we're going to find this is pretty darn close to what is really truth. So in order to be a strong and healthy church, we need to have a really clear understanding of the church, what its mission is, and a commitment to do it, right? I mean, it makes sense. If we don't understand it, we don't have a commitment to what the church is supposed to be, the church is never going to be that, okay? It's never going to be what it's supposed to be on accident. It has to be a very intentional pursuit of doing what God has called us to do. So let's talk about mission, okay? How do you talk about mission? How do you lead your people through a conversation about mission? Well, when we talk about the mission of the church, the first thing we have to realize is that it really ultimately is going to be a process of discovery of what God has revealed to us already. This is not a creative endeavor. It's not like you're opening up your own business and you can be creative to what you want your mission to be and you get to figure it out. We're not the owners of the church. We are not the authors or the inventors of the church. So we don't have any say in determining what its mission is to be. God has revealed it to us. He's already shown us. And remember, we just said in the previous slide that the church is called to continue the ministry, the ministry and the mission of Christ. Like it's already there, and we just have to like uncover it, rediscover it, reveal it, you know, embrace it, all those kind of things. Okay, so what is it? What can we discover? Well, first, again, if we're going to continue the ministry of Jesus, then we have to begin with the question, well, what did Jesus do? What was his model? What was his example? Well, we see all kinds of things. He was teaching the gospel. He was healing. He was feeding. He was serving always. He was discipling, you know, at different levels, whether it was large crowds and preaching or very intentional one-on-one discipleship or small group discipleship with the apostles. He was building community through them. He was teaching them how to love each other, how to live together, how to be humble, and all those sort of things. He was, like I said, he was serving. You know, all the miracles Jesus did, he never does them any for himself. It's always for others. He's bringing sight. He's bringing hearing. He brings food. He brings, you know, makes the crippled walk. All those kind of things. So Jesus is this combination. He's teaching, he's preaching. In his actions, he's reversing the effects of the curse of the fall. You know, he's through his miraculous ministry, all this kind of stuff, and he's doing it in a way very humbly, very graciously. But he upholds the truth and all that. So we kind of get this idea as we go through the Gospels. Really, that what our lives personally and our lives collectively as a church, it's supposed to kind of look like that. I mean, that's really what our mission is to try to keep doing what Jesus did. Now, we also have some more explicit and direct commands. So obviously, we see Jesus' example in the Gospels. And this is something that I'm personally doing with several key leaders at my church. We're doing a very, very thorough, in-depth study of the Gospels to say, what did Jesus do? How did he do it? Why did he do it? How can we do what he did? How can we become more like him? So this is very important in understanding the mission of what the church is. It's really understanding what Jesus was all about. Okay? Then we have a direct commission from Jesus. I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, you are familiar with the words that Jesus gives in Matthew 28, the great commission to go out into all the world and make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them to obey all the things that Jesus had taught the disciples. And the commission that he gave to his original disciples, it's the same commission he gives to us. And so we have some very direct words from Jesus in Matthew 28. We also have some direct words from Jesus in Acts 1, where again he tells his disciples just prior to his ascension that they're to wait in Jerusalem, and that then they will be filled with power, and that when they're filled with power, they'll go out into Jerusalem, Judea, you know, Samaria, to the ends of the world. They'll go everywhere as his witnesses. So we're to be a witness. I mean, that's what the purpose of the church is to be a witness, to testify that what we have seen, what we know is truth, and to declare it to the world. So we talk about mission. We've got all of Jesus' examples of his life. We've got this commission from him. And then, fortunately, we also have a description of the early church in its kind of most pure, uncorrupted form. What was it really meant to be? And so we've got some great descriptions in Acts 2, also in Acts 4 as a really wonderful description of the early church. And so we can see in Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves, the early church, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All the believers were together. They were selling their possessions and good. They had they were giving to anyone as they had need. All those kind of things. So that's just this beautiful, wonderful picture of what the church was like in its earliest days, in its again, in its purest form. We also have a wonderful description from Paul in Ephesians 4 that talks about what is the church supposed to do. And it talks about how Jesus gave different jobs, different gifts and abilities to different people in order to accomplish the mission of the church. So it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So we can just see there, what is some of the purpose of the church is to have an apostolic ministry, to be prophetic, to be evangelistic, to pastor others, to teach others. I mean, just right there, we see this is what Jesus equipped people and he called them and to do a task. So that tells us that's what the task of the church is, right? And it says, altogether, they do this, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. So, one of the tasks of the church is to prepare people within the church for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. That's a big part of the mission of the church, is to help believers mature in their faith. It says, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I mean, I'm just blowing through these verses really quickly, but hopefully you can see that when we talk about the mission of the church, this isn't something we have to be creative about and try to invent. That the Lord, in His Word and in His life and in His ministry, has very clearly revealed these sorts of things that the church should be about, its purpose and its identity. So, if you can, do a good study of all these things, and you could kind of group them together and organize them, what would you come up with? Well, that's something that our church had done with our leaders, and we did a lot of study. And here's what we came up with. Here's kind of our summary of this is what a church should be. And we basically figured out five areas that when you look at the whole witness of Scripture, you can kind of take any passage or a section of a Scripture, and you can kind of put it in one of five areas, kind of one of five buckets, pretty much everything fits into. Okay, and so the first is worship. That is obviously the call of the church, is to worship Jesus Christ, is to worship the Father through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that if the church isn't worshiping, it's obviously that's not part of what its purpose and identity is. Gospel sharing, we have that in the Great Commission. We have that about being witnesses. We have this in Ephesians 4 about, some to be evangelists. So this the purpose, identity of the church is always going to be about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that he loves very much that rejects him. And that we have this good news of salvation. So that's always going to be kind of a piece of what the church has to be about. We also have discipleship. This is about this maturing to the unity of faith and the fullness of God or of Christ within us. We're told in Peter tells us about growing in grace and in knowledge. The Acts 2, it talked about they were committed to the apostles' teaching. So just as like this growing up, this maturing in faith, that's a big part of what the church is to be about. It's not just to get people to be converted so they go to heaven. It's about converting people so that they may grow in Christ and become more like him and bring him honor and glory and do kingdom work and ministry, until the point the Lord calls them home. Okay? So we just don't want people to raise their hands and say, yes, I believe, and then not doing anything with it. Obviously, service is a big thing. In Ephesians 4, it said, to prepare God's people for works of service. Jesus himself says, I did not come to be served, but to serve. So if Jesus explicitly declared that as like the purpose of his coming was to serve and to be a servant, well then we have to be that as well if we're going to continue his ministry. It has to be a ministry of service. And then also a loving community. Jesus came not just in isolation, but he built a community of faith. He was calling people out and creating relationships and building in love. And, you know, the idea that we are the body of Christ, we're united more than in just a set of beliefs, but in the deepest ways, in that this is what it was supposed to be. And Jesus says, you know, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you love each other. And, we have to love one another. John, in his letters at the end of the New Testament, especially 1 John, he talks so much about love as really the work of the church and the outward expression of the presence of the Spirit in us. And what it means to follow Jesus is ultimately rooted in our love for each other, and it's expressed in that way. So anyway, here's kind of like the five buckets we can kind of put things in. And what we discovered after we had done a significant time of study in Scripture was that, I guess the good news was this. We realized, as we started to look at what other people and churches had done, that pretty much everybody comes up with the same five things. They're worded a little bit differently, or there might be slight shades of difference, but this is basically what the church is. And if these five seem somewhat familiar to you, I mean, that's probably the case. These are not, my church, when we study Scripture, we shouldn't come up with a list any different than yours or any different from anybody else. In fact, when we were doing this, I had been reminded when we got to the very end of this how a number of years ago, reading Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Church, and Rick Warren has five purposes of the church after he had done years of study. And guess what? He's got the same five we came up with, which thousands of other churches who've taken on the task of trying to discover the mission of the church. Everybody comes up with basically the same answer, which is good. Now, let me just hit the pause button here, because you might be thinking back to a few lectures ago where we were talking about indicators of church health, and these are the things, the signs that, a prayer and a ministry of the word and loving covenantal community and serving. And you might be, this sounds an awful lot like that, and for good reason. So there's definitely tons of overlap here, right? So if you're looking for the healthy indicators of a church, you're going to see lots of like the purpose in that as well, right? And if you're talking about the mission and the purpose of the church, you should see plenty of healthy indicators. So if you're doing this, if you're fulfilling the mission by doing all these things, there, in some ways it's like it's one and the same, like mission and health and purpose. And so that's why I said at the beginning of this, like we're kind of covering ground, but like in a different way, we're presenting it in a different way, coming at it from a different angle, organizing it slightly differently. But there is so much overlap here, because when we talk about mission, if you're on mission, you're going to be a healthy church. If you're a healthy church, you're going to be on mission. They're really two sides of the coin. You can't really split them up. So, again, our process of discerning this was just a lot of study of Scripture. We read books on what is the purpose of the church, those kind of things. There isn't a book necessarily called that, although Warren's Purpose-Driven Church is pretty darn close. But we looked at what other people had discovered. I've mentioned this name before, Aubrey Malphurs, Malphurs. And he has some books like Advanced Strategic Planning and things like that, where he really spells this out. And really, any book that talks about the mission and vision of the church and stuff, there's going to be something that's going to end up with something very, very similar to this. With that being said, I would still challenge you to go through this process on your own, because it would have been really easy for me to just take these five and gone to our team and said, okay, this is what we're supposed to be about. And that probably would have had some effect, but not nearly as much as when we studied it, and then like they learned it for themselves, and they embraced it, and they saw it in Scripture. And it really was then hard for them to argue with anything else. And so really studying Scripture, looking what others do, but doing it as a shared process. Again, not just saying, well, here's your list of five things, next. Really study it in a way that they can embrace it, understand it, own it, feel as if they have discovered it. Because if they feel like they've discovered it, then it's going to be something that they'll hold on to and they'll remember, rather than just passing on information. Okay, so a big piece of this really is again just the discovery of what the church is supposed to be. The second piece is then to articulate it. Okay, so this is kind of putting it in words, putting it in some kind of a paragraph form. And some people say it should be in, you know, really memorable, or it should rhyme, or, you know, start with the, each of them should start with the same letter, or I don't know, you know, or it should be at least a paragraph, and I don't know about any of that kind of stuff. I think just if you can write something in a way that is very specific and clear, that really crystallizes among your leadership what is the purpose and mission of the church, that's good enough. You know, you want to write it in a way and have it worded in a way where there's not any confusion, that you are crystal clear of what you're about. So when we did this, there were multiple drafts, and we had edits and conversations, and it would be interesting because we would spend like a half hour talking about a phrase of like, how specifically were we going to express this? And we would have a word, and we would talk for a half hour about a word or a phrase, and it might have seemed like we were kind of just getting way too much into details, but it was really rich conversation because they were really clarifying in their own minds what exactly is it that this church is supposed to be doing. So we took a lot of time for edits and discussion. I was one of the writers, but we had several people offering edits and collaborating until there was something that we just really liked, we really agreed on, and felt really good about. And then became the next step. Once our leadership team had discovered it and we articulated it, so it was just, again, crystal clear, a very pure, crisp statement that said exactly what we thought Scripture said, then we had what I would say was the real challenge of getting this into the consciousness of the congregation so that the whole church would also understand what our mission and what our purpose was. So getting the congregation to adopt it. So, because we wanted this to be more than just putting something on a piece of paper, but really sinking into like the kind of thing that would form and change and shape the culture of our church. Of like, this is what it means to be a church. This is who we are. So how did we do that? And honestly, that's an ongoing, continual process. You're always going to be fighting against this because gravity of kind of human nature and sin is always going to pull it back to the mission of the church is to meet the needs of me and my family. And so you always kind of be fighting against that and saying, no, it's not that. It's something else. It's about continuing what Christ has started. So how we've done that, I mean, there was a couple superficial ways I think we've done it. And I mean superficial, like they didn't help, but it was more like surface kind of thing. So like on the front of our bulletin, our worship bulletin every week, it's printed on that. Often at meetings, different ministry team meetings, we'll recite it together. It'll be like at the top of the agenda and we'll recite it. And I don't really care if the church has it memorized, and different people will say different things about that. I don't necessarily care if they have it memorized word for word. What I do care more about is that they at least understand it to some degree. And even on the most basic level, that we exist for a purpose beyond them. That we exist for a purpose that was given to us by God. And even if they can't remember all five things, that there's a sense of like, okay, this is God's thing and He's trying to do something with it and through it. Okay? Some of the, I would say, the more deeper, significant things we've done, rather than just recite it or have it on the bulletin, is we restructured our whole organizational kind of chart, our whole the way we're all divided up and how we do ministry and our leaders. We organized our whole church. We kind of just started over from scratch, and we organized around the five parts of the mission of worship, gospel sharing, discipleship, serving, and loving community. And that's how our whole church is organized. And then we have leaders on that. And I'm going to talk in a couple lectures on structure. And so I don't want to get into it too much now. But if we're going to want to do these things, then we're going to structure ourselves around these very purposes, right? Leaders over each one who have a very clear sense of what each component of the mission is and how they're responsible for it. What does it look like in our church when we do it? So we really just kind of started from scratch and then just built around this. And so obviously this gives us a lot of direction. It helps us stay on mission, right? Because our whole church is organized around this idea of mission. So we also will end meetings after we go through our whole meeting, whatever team it is or committee or whoever it is, we'll say, now, did our conversation today, did it have to do with the mission of the church? And did the decisions we made, did it help further our mission? Or was it true to the mission of the church? Was it true to what Christ has begun? And, you know, hopefully our answer is yes, it totally is. And to be honest, sometimes it's like, no, we kind of got off the rails and we were talking about something else and I don't know how much that really has to do. And honestly, that's just a good wake-up call for us to be like, not everything we talk about is actually going to be helpful in contributing. And so we've learned to try to stick more on topic. We redid our budget into basically the five areas that we've talked about: worship, gospel sharing, discipling, serving, and the loving relationships. So we say, well, okay, what are the things we need to do to spend our money on this? And so basically our budget is those five areas and then like an administrative area as well. So we just have six areas. And if there's a thing that we want to spend money on and it doesn't fall into one of those six areas, well, then we're not spending money on it. We've had some ministries in the past that we realized it didn't fit into any of those five areas, and we got rid of them because it's like, this doesn't fit in anywhere. So these are some of the more significant things we've done, kind of like behind-the-scenes structuring, that have really kind of more driven this thing with a lot more purpose and intentionality than just saying, well, we showed it on the screen a couple times. So anyway, that's mission. And I'm excited for you to begin this process of just pushing in and discovering this for yourself and with your leaders. And anytime I can encourage you to be in the Word and learning, hearing the words of Christ or the teachings of Paul, I'm just so excited, and God's going to bless it and do something with it. So let me pray for you before we move on to our next lecture. Lord, thank you for this gift of the church. We do praise you, and we praise you, Lord, for what you did when you came as a baby and grown into a man and offered up your life for the sins of the world. Lord, Help us to know you better. Help us to become more like you. Help our churches to be more faithful expressions of the body of Christ. So, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified in all your majesty. We love you so much. And Lord, please, would you do a great work in and through my dear friends listening to this lecture and in their ministry. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, that's it for mission. Until next time, God bless.